We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning. Believe me, I agree. You'll never get bored with winning. We never get bored. We are going to turn this country around. We are going to start winning big league.
Yes, we're going to start winning big league, or on Monday night, big league, however you wanted to put that. I got to be honest, though, the winning big league, not happening on Monday night. And reports right now that, you know, you may remember when Hillary had the bout of pneumonia where, you know, she kind of stumbled. There was all these questions. Is she going to be okay? Is she fit to be president? On Monday, Trump hit the stamina thing. Well, it turns out today in Chicago, Donald Trump gave what they're categorizing as an uncategorically low energy speech today. And now the question is the Donald not feeling well? And I wish him well. I hope he gets better. But again, it's one of those things, one of those weird little moments where you go, if it's not good for you, why is it not good for her? I don't know. Anyway, here to talk a little bit about Monday's debate in the aftermath, I've asked Jess McIntosh to come talk with us. She is the Director of Communications Outreach for Hillary for America. Jess, thanks for taking time for us.
Happy to be here, Rick. Nice to talk to you.
So it looks like the Donald's not feeling well.
You know, I think it would be completely inappropriate to say something negative about a candidate who happens to have some sort of a cold. That just seems like a mean thing to do, and so I'm not going to do it.
And nor should we. I mean, I wish him well. I hope he feels better, get him a little chicken soup, whatever. But it is kind of ironic, don't you think, that the Trump supporters kind of?
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, I think, sniffles aside, I think we saw that Donald Trump did not come prepared for that debate. He wasn't prepared for the debate, I think, because he is not prepared to be president. The debate is it's a job interview. It's not a performance.
Right.
You know, it's where two applicants sit down and tell the American people that they want the honor and the privilege of their vote. And that is a very serious responsibility that Donald Trump clearly just didn't feel the need to take seriously. And I think that's why we saw every poll out of the debate saying that she had handily won. I mean, people are really excited about her candidacy. And I was thrilled that an audience of that size got to tune in to hear. It is tough to break through in this election cycle with substance, with real, like, aspirational policies. And, you know, 80 million people watched her first answer about creating an inclusive economy that works for everybody, not just those at the top. And that's really important for this campaign.
Now, I'm with you, but are you sure you're looking at the right polls and watching the right network? Because, you know, I was at the gym last night watching fake news on Fox, and they had Trump winning everything hands down. There was nothing he didn't win.
We figured out what Trump is citing when he says that he won in all the polls. And the things that he's citing are internet quizzes, like on Breitbart or on Drudge. You have those online polls where it's, you know, who won the debate, Trump or Clinton, pick one. And then, of course, you can just keep voting over and over again for your favorite candidate. And if you put them up on a right-wing site, of course, you're going to have a lot of votes for Trump. But he seems to think that those are real polls.
Right.
He spent yesterday saying that he had won all of the polls except for CNN, and no one watches CNN. And, of course, all of the polls that he was citing were these online quizzes, and CNN was the only actual scientific poll of the debate.
Wow.
So we're seeing more come out today. I mean, it's overwhelming. You know?
And that could explain why Little Baron and Eric have got the wrist wraps on, Little Corporal Tunnel going on.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, I think we probably saw a lot of chat boards, a lot of the right wing people saying, like, go out and get this done. I mean, it's a silly way to spend your time. I've never seen a major candidate try to tout the winnings from an unscientific internet poll, but hey, we did it this year. I think what matters more than the numbers today is that Hillary got that message out. And we saw a huge movement yesterday, which was National Voter Registration Day, with some of the most engaged that we've ever seen online. People are fired up and ready to vote. And And, you know, we're hitting the home stretch right now. So, you know, voter registration deadlines are coming soon. You guys have to be registered by October 11th.
Correct.
You know, just make sure that you're ready. Go to iwillvote.com to get registered. It's so easy. You can, like, find out whether you're already registered. And if you're not, you can get registered and then, you know, make your friends do it all too. The stakes really couldn't be any higher this year.
I'm with you. But what do you say to the people who, because Trump's laying the groundwork, especially here in Pennsylvania, that if Hillary wins, it's because she cheated and the game's rigged. So,
well, I mean, I think even Trump last night said that he would respect he would respect the results of the election. I think that the American people can see through that kind of straight up lying. I mean, there's nothing rigged about the system, except for the voter registration laws that make it tougher for people to vote. If anything is tipping the scales one way or the other, it's the Republican attempts to disenfranchise voters. Democrats are usually trying to make more people vote, which, you know, makes the process as fair as possible. But Hillary Clinton is not capable of rigging a national election, and neither is anybody else. I would suggest that Trump stop inviting foreign entities to hack our government emails.
That's a good
start. If he is so concerned about unfair interference in elections.
But here's the thing, Jess. You know, as I was watching the debate, and I got to be honest, and just completely honest, I thought Trump did a good job on the trade and the infrastructure part of his spiel. He went from orange to red very quickly after that. But the reality is, I think those are the issues that a lot of my friends in Ohio, where I grew up, see as near and dear, because we've seen a massive deindustrialization in this country, and our trade policies have been horrible and abysmal. And I didn't get the sense that Hillary hit on those issues hard enough, and I'd like to see more of that, because, you know, while Trump's talking narrative and pulling on heartstrings, she's still stuck in being kind of wonky and you know, fact-based, and sadly,
yeah, you know, no, she certainly is fact-based. She's a candidate that sweats the details, because those little wonky policy details, that means thousands of dollars in your insurance premium or the quality of your kid's education. Like, those little numbers turn into real things in your daily life that matter. I think in terms of Trump and trade, I would say that he's got a good line, but this is a man that makes all of his stuff in countries other than America. This is not a man that has ever cared about American jobs as a businessman. All he does is stiff the little guy. Like, look at what he did in Atlantic City. Look at the contractors, those small businessmen who got the shining, glitzy contract from a big business like Trump, and he didn't pay them. And when he was asked why he didn't pay them, he said publicly their work wasn't good enough, and they filed bankruptcy, so he didn't have to give up any of the money. I mean, he really messed up the little, like, your friends in Pennsylvania and Ohio. I think they need to hear the stories about what he has done to small businessmen that he has worked with. He can have a good line on trade right now if he wants to, but his personal life undermines that completely. Like, the man is running saying, look at what I've done in business, I want to do that for the country, when what he has done in business is sell out America and sell out American workers.
Yeah, see, I'm not buying the second part of that. What he wants to do, what he's done in business, I just don't know that he wants to do it for the rest of us. And it's one of those things that I get the feeling that I can't trust him on those issues. But I got to be honest, given the performance he had on Monday night, I don't know that you can trust him on any real issue outside of just the rhetoric.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you can't. And we saw, I think he lied. He spoke for 46 minutes during that debate. He lied 58 times. That is more than one lie per minute. So it becomes, you know, even when he's got a good moment, you still can't trust it. If the man is lying more than once a minute, then it doesn't matter if the rhetoric is solid or not. It's you can't win a debate based on lies. And I would argue, obviously, that he didn't win it even lying at a higher than one a minute rate. We just had an NBC SurveyMonkey come out that said Hillary Clinton had won that debate 51% to 24%. So it's pretty serious.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of this, you know, I look at this, and it is the behavior of a salesperson. I mean, you know, whatever you need to make the whatever you need to say to make the sale. And I think that's where he's at. He's telling people what they want to hear when they want to hear it, because he's a bright guy. I mean, any good salesman or con man, whichever way you want to go with that,
right?
They know what people want to hear.
I think that's the fundamental difference between the candidates, right there. Though, I mean, you can say that Hillary Clinton is too fact based. But she's not going to tell you whatever you need to hear to make the sale. If what she's going to tell you isn't factually accurate, she's not going to say it. That's why some of her slogans don't fit on bumper stickers. You know, she's talking about complicated issues, but she has a real solution. You know, when we talk about an inclusive economy, it's not build the wall. You can't do it in three words. It doesn't turn into a chant.
Right.
But eliminate, you know, make debt-free college. Like, we're talking about climate justice. We're talking about, you know, bringing jobs back and raising the minimum wage. Like, these are important issues that don't necessarily turn into slogans, but they're real and they're fact-based, and that's what I want in a leader.
Yeah, and that's what we want. I would want a leader as well, but it doesn't really do good for reality TV. I mean, it's not Rosie O'Donnell or Howard Stern.
It doesn't. But, you know, this isn't a reality TV show. It's a presidential election. And I have more faith in the American public. Okay. I really do. I mean, you could see on Monday night that one person was running for president and one person was running for television. And clearly the results came in that the audience preferred her. And I think that as we spend the next 41 days with a couple of more debates, you know, she's giving big aspirational speeches every day. She's getting out there in front of a lot of people. It doesn't break through the media quite as easily as this, you know, bombastic showmanship that he does. But, you know, people are talking to each other and the numbers are moving her way. I think we're going to be surprised on Election Day that America is actually not as big as reality TV as we all like to say that we are. I think that America takes the presidency very seriously, and they understand that Hillary Clinton does too.
Boy, I sure hope you're right, because I hope our democracy is about more than just how big his hands are and how much stamina he has.
Me too.
I hope it's about actual policies. But you know, the sad reality is that while I was at the gym last night, I saw the alternative reality show of fake news on Fox that, you know, Trump did everything right. It was fabulous. He won by hands down, and Lester Holt and everybody was against him, and he you know, fostered on, and CNN talking about fat shaming the whole night. And I'm going, you know, where are the real issues that I think are important to average everyday working folks? I didn't see much of that in our media.
Yeah, I think that I've heard of the inclusive economy answer a lot. That was the first one that she was given, and that really, you know, that got through. But I think that the fat shaming that people were talking about is actually a bigger issue than just a sort of sideshow. That's speaks to his character. The way that he treats women is a real issue in this debate, and it's an issue for women voters. We've never had a presidential nominee that openly talks about women as dogs and pigs and fat slops and bimbos, and treating his former employee, I guess, the former Miss Universe, the way that he did, it's not about a tabloid. It's about not recognizing women as real people who are worthy of respect. There's almost nothing stronger in terms of an argument against him than the way he has spoken to and about women in his life. So talking about that, yeah, it sounds like you're reducing it to we're having a conversation about fat shaming, but it really does speak right to the heart of the character of the man. And I think, as Maya Angelou says, you know, when somebody shows us who they are, believe them. And I think he has shown us over and over again that he is that kind of person.
Yeah, sure, because he says he loves women, and he says, you know, all these, you know, the African American community loves him, and Hispanics love him. Everybody loves him.
Well, yeah, you know, he's got his own reality, and he is more than welcome to live in it. But you know, that doesn't turn an internet quiz into a scientific poll, and saying that the African American community loves you doesn't get you past 0%, which is where he's polling now.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, as I said at the beginning, I think it was the performance I expected him to give. I actually thought he would go much further off the deep end and go much further in the gutter. So my question then becomes, how are you guys going to deal with when he finally realizes, like a caged rat, that he's going to go all out gutter on you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that he had a very low bar to clear on Monday, and I would argue that he failed to even clear that. But the fact that we are talking about, like, whether a presidential candidate, whether a nominee from a major party can win as long as they don't totally become unhinged and start lashing out, that just shows how far this cycle has slunk and how low Donald Trump is willing to go. But, you know, he does lash out, and he tends to lash out right after debate. He followed up on that Miss Universe comment that he made, where I don't know if everybody listening knows, but he referred to a Miss Universe who had put on some pounds, apparently, in his mind, as Miss Piggy, and because she was Latina, he called her Miss Housekeeping, and he blindsided her by bringing a bunch of journalists, video cameras, to watch her work out, to shed the excess weight. So this is, like, hugely public humiliation of a woman. And it happened in 1997, right? Okay, if you ask me, if you put a trove of things that I had said almost 20 years ago in front of me, I am sure that there would be a few for which I would like to offer an apology.
Certainly.
But after confronted with that on Monday night, Tuesday morning, he goes on Fox and Friends and called her fat again.
Yep. And did you see their faces? I mean, really?
Yes. Oh, God, I've never felt bad for the Fox and Friends couch before, but... They are trying so hard, bless their hearts, to make him palatable to the American public, and he is just, he's not helping himself. He's not helping them either. That was a remarkable thing for a presidential nominee to say in 2016. And I mean, there isn't a woman of any political party who really thinks that that's an okay thing to say. There isn't a single mother that would tell their son that that's the right way to treat women.
At least you hope not.
Yeah.
At least you hope. I mean, I tweeted that out the other day where with the title of, you know, that moment you realize when you've sold your soul. You look at the faces of the three fake news.
Oh,
folks,
no.
it's that moment when you don't stand up and say something and push back against that. That's the minute, you know, I've just sold my soul.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I mean, so I think it does go back to policy. Like, I know it doesn't feel like it, but that is not, if you're a man who is willing to say that, then you're not a man who is ever going to consider equal pay for equal work something that matters. And we know that he doesn't. He thinks that women should just work harder. But if you're a man who feels that way about women, then you are never going to take paid family leave seriously. You know, he said that pregnant employees were an inconvenience. That's not a man that's going to go out of his way to make sure that we stop being the only developed nation that doesn't have maternity leave, paid maternity leave. So, you know, I think it can sound like a distraction, but when you get to the actual character issue of it, this is how he's going to govern. He doesn't think that women are worthy of that kind of respect in his rhetoric. He is not going to respect them that way with his policy.
Good point. Good point. I just can't wait for the next debate. I can't see
Me
how.
Me too.
Can't wait to. I mean, you said this isn't reality TV. It kind of is.
It's better than reality TV. It's reality.
Yeah, well, it's the end of our... It could be the end of our democracy, but hey, we might as well be happy while it happens. Jess, I appreciate you taking time for us.
Thanks, anytime.
Great talking with you. Let's take a quick break right back after this. 1-888-520-RICK, 1-888-520-7425. We're right back.
And Medicare, while millions in the country don't have a dime to spare. Corporations give billions of welfare, while millions in this country don't have a dime to spare. Corporations give billions of welfare, while millions in this country don't have a dime to spare. Millions in this country don't have a dime to spare. Multi-billions in this country get not a dime to spare.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.